This is a recording of Dr. Tom Roszell for Sunday, April 10th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Roszell Live by Dr. Tom Roszell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Roszell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. This is Dr. Tom Roszell Live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on any aspect of integrative and natural therapeutics that you might want a little answer on. You know how it affects you. You've tried, you've applied, you've done the things you can to get rid of the problems that you have. Well, here's an opportunity. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're going to go through kind of the forest today and pick on some things that are staring us in the face, that they're there. But because it's kind of shrouded in this mystique of, well, we really don't know what it is. The truth of it is we do. What am I talking about? I'm talking about stress. Stress and how your body functions, but stress and how it affects your brain, stress and how it affects your immune system. Having said that, by the way, May the 11th at 7 p.m., I'm going to be doing a special program at the Angelica Film Center in Maryfield, Virginia. Love to have you there. We're going to talk about stress patterns, but specifically what you can do about it and how you can eliminate the problem. So this is going to be outside the Roszell Center for Healing. It's going to be a program that's going to be designed so you can go home immediately and make some corrections in your life so you can get, you know, your health back, that thing that you deserve, that's your birthright, to have that in a place where, you know, you don't get the symptoms of what we call sickness. And how would that be if you didn't have to suffer with the anxiety reactions and depression and all of those things? We're going to talk about that today a little bit, but mark the date, kind of put it aside, May the 11th, 7 p.m. at the Angelica Film Center in Maryfield, Virginia. Having said that, and by the way, that's my gift to you. I don't do a lot of these, but every once in a while, caring for others, you know, kind of taps me on the shoulder. The board of directors says, hey, will you go out and, you know, do a lecture here and there? So this will probably be the last one until late fall that I'll be in this area doing anything of the kind. So love to talk to you on that. And you can either go to our website, by the way, to check it out. You go to RoszellCare.com. That's RoszellCare.com. And go to events and seminars and lectures and click that tab and you'll learn all about it. And, you know, pay attention to Facebook for those of you who are on there because you'll see it. Join us, by the way. Go to Roszell Center Facebook and you'll be updated constantly. But let's talk about stress today. Let's talk about those things that supposedly affect us all, but we really don't know that they're affecting us because we become numb to it. It's like the normal for us. You know, particularly living in a huge metropolitan area like we do, or New York City, or, you know, California, or Philadelphia, or any place where, you know, there's a lot of us jammed together and we have all the stresses of financial stresses and environmental stresses and injury patterns and dietary catch-as-you-can type of thing, as I call it. You know, you catch something and throw it in your mouth and keep going. And because you're under what? Pressure. You're under stress. You have to keep moving. So stress is one of the most impactful things that affect our body. When we talk about stress today, I want you to visualize an equilateral triangle. I want you to visualize the base of that being a structural component, all those hard things that you can touch on your body, and they're injured, they're hurt, you're limping along, you kind of put up with, take two aspirin, call me in the morning type of attitude, right? Another side of that triangle is biochemistry. You know, things that you eat, the diet that is probably not as supportive as you think it should be, or I would think it should be. And then the third is emotional stress. And here's the piece of that. And what I really want you to remember, and I've said it many times, that your body doesn't know the difference between an actual experience and something that you think about. It's the absolute same effect on your whole system. So if you're thinking about it, you're going to manifest it. So let's kind of walk through the puzzle a little bit. You know, people like to ignore stress and they say, it's not a big deal. But in our society, it can be unrelenting. We just never get away from it. We don't take time off. We don't take moments to kind of shut down, just to be quiet. You know, stress can come from physical, emotional, as I said, you know, and it can come from that biochemical piece. Stress affects everything from that fight-flight reaction, you know, that hormone level that's produced in your adrenal system. That's called cortisol. You know, cortisol, everybody thinks, is this dangerous thing that breaks us apart and eats our body up and destroys everything and puts on fat. And, you know, well, it does, but it also is something that we need to have at a certain level to repair our body with. So it's truly one of those things where way too much is too much and not enough is not good either. So in quantities that are necessary, cortisol is helpful. It decreases inflammation and it speeds up your body's ability to repair tissue, you know, from these organ systems called the adrenal glands. You got two of them. One sits on each side of the body on top of the kidneys, and you were born with them. And by the way, interesting thing about adrenal system, these little ductless glands that sit on top of your kidneys, when you were born, they're approximately one-third the size of your kidney, and they're sitting up there, and they do all kinds of things. When you die, if you have a full lifespan, they become almost rudimentary. Your body eats them up. You eat them up. You destroy them over time to the point where they're vestigial almost. You know, so, you know, continued stress raises cortisol because that's how your body fight flights, and cortisol slows down the production of good things. You know, those sex hormones, you know, they're called prostaglandins and, you know, androgens and so forth. Well, there's, those things are derived, you need to have those prostaglandins, right? They're derived from fatty acids, and you get a lot of that through fish and so forth, but most of you don't like fish, and, or, you know, we used to get it from our meats, but today meats are no longer free range generally. You can get them, but not like they used to be. So it slows down the availability of those things. So when we talk about cortisol, I want you to remember that it's a good guy and it's a bad guy all at the same time. But we need to get into, you know, really what the effects of stress are. When we talk about stress, by the way, if you didn't have some stress, you would die immediately. You'd last about 5 seconds. And so your body has to have something to keep it going. It's a stimulatory effect. And if that doesn't exist, if you go into a place of total no stress, you wouldn't be long for the world because that's how your body, you know, lives. But this overabundant stress, this ongoing insult, this onslaught of battering the body to the point where it can't handle it anymore. So, you know, it's visualize Rocky in the ring, right? And he's beating up guy's arms and body and so forth. And here's this guy that's not as big as everybody else, but he's beating him up. And then pretty soon he falls. That's what stress does. So you have two parts. Let's talk about the nervous system. Because you have this brain, the spinal cord, you have these nerves go out. There's 31 pairs of them, by the way. And they go different places, and the brain has 12 cranial nerves. And they all interconnect all the different systems. And the nervous system, the components of this central system, and we'll call brain, spinal cord, in these nerves, the central system of the body, have two primary components. One's called the sympathetic. It's almost like sympathy. And the other one is called the parasympathetic. So the sympathetic, just for, and I'm not going to get technical the whole program today, so bear with me just for a minute. I just want to give you kind of a look at this thing. The sympathetic is one that goes into sympathy for you and tries to protect you and goes into battle. If you were, you know, a caveman and the tiger was coming at you, your blood pressure goes up, blood goes to your muscles, your organ systems that digest food shut down because it has to do another job right now, and you have a choice. You're either going to get a big old stick and rock and you're going to hit the damn tiger in the head, or you're going to run away from it. You're going to fly and you're going to flee, and that's what the sympathetic system does. And you're, you know, if you're in a constant state of fear or stress or ongoing, that sympathetic system is always engaged. The parasympathetic is one that allows you to repair. It allows the body to digest food. It puts you in a state of calmness. But unfortunately, if we're always in a state of sympathetic overload, you know, we sit there at dinner time and watch the news and we get really irritated, and we watch the election cycle that we're in, we're getting really irritated, and we're constantly listening to the talking heads and we're getting really irritated. We're at our job or we're, you know, wherever we are, and we're into a stress pattern of having to produce, and we're getting irritated. And we're always in sympathetic overload. So what happens then is there are multiple systems that begin to crash and they get beat up. Your digestive system doesn't work anymore because you begin to get atrophy of different pieces of that system. So long-term stress can lead to very, very serious health problems. You know, and we, that fight-flight mechanism, that constant production of these hormones, that adrenaline, if you will, and something called noradrenaline, they're secreted from nerve cells and neurons in the body, but also from the adrenal system, and they cause the body to be in a constant overload situation. So when we're dealing with this cortisol, and you know, it begins to, at that point, interfere with the neurological transmission in the body, and it interferes with the different mood balancing hormones. And, you know, that's not okay either, because then you go into depression, you go into anxiety. So there's this link here. So not only does our body get beat up, but we go into states of deprecation, if you will. So stress is good for certain things, but you got to go into chill factor. I was at a seminar this weekend, and I was listening to a speaker who I have tremendous amount of respect for, because this guy has hit it out of the park. He's at the top of his game. And, you know, he was talking to a whole bunch of us that were, you know, very, very crazy high producers. And he said, you know, how many of you actually take time on a regular basis, you know, to shut down and do absolutely nothing and get away from it? I had to look at myself, and I was going to raise my hand, and I realized that I don't do it as much as I preach other people to get it done. And I don't shut down. I never get away from it. When I'm in town or if I'm not on vacation, I'm 24/7. So I'm as guilty as many of you are in doing this. So that's probably why we're doing this program today on stress, because it's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I realized that when you're in a constant state of stress, no matter how good you are or how proficient you are or how successful you are, that you, like anybody else, are going to have a fall. You're going to go over the edge and life is not going to be good. We're going to get into this more and more throughout the program today. I want to tweak it. We're going to stay on topic, believe it or not, like sometimes I don't do, but today we're going to. But Chuck, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, a question. Can fish oil supplements lower triglycerides and cholesterol? And if so, what dosage, and are there any side effects? And two, can apples and oatmeal also lower triglycerides and cholesterol?
Okay, so the answer to all that is yes and maybe, and it depends on you. Okay, so what I'm talking about is simply this. Yes, fish oils and other forms of omega-3, 6, and 9s and DLAs, you have to have them at a certain level. Chuck, I don't know your metabolism, so I can't recommend a certain level. Safe levels for most people are going to be in the neighborhood of about 1,800 milligrams a day, not a big deal. But what you want to make sure with any oil, particularly fish oils, is you want to know where they came from. There are a lot of seas that are polluted. And if they're doing these from farm-raised fish, the oils are not the best. You have all kinds of hormones that might be able to get into it. You have to look at laboratories that subject themselves on a voluntary basis to scrutiny relative to what's there. So if you get something as from, you know, the northern waters in Alaska and so forth, and salmon, and so, they're great things. Emu oil, EMU, is a great omega-3, 6, and 9. We use it a lot with our patients, but we only use one resource of it. It's called Walkabout Emu Oil. So they do. When I come back, Chuck, you won't be on the air, but I'm going to touch and make sure that I answer your question completely, because it's one that there's a lot of confusion about. Fatty acids from fish oils, from other forms that produce omega-3, 6, and 9s are really essential to all of us. So don't go away. And I've got to take a break, unfortunately. We're coming up for that moment where we have to pay attention to those people that bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Last caller called in and asked me about fish oils as they relate to lowering cholesterol and triglycerides and so forth. So the short answer, and he asked me, do they? And the short answer is yes, absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of research that's out there. Matter of fact, I'm going to refer you to an article that you can find in WebMD on an online system that's put out by the allopathic community, interestingly enough. So if you check that out, you'll find different dosages. But let me talk about that just a little bit. In the, 40 years of practice, obviously, and the focus in nutrition that I've had for all these years, omega fatty acids do a lot of amazing things for people. We use it from everything from increasing brain function to helping support cardiovascular integrity. And you want to use a combination of things. Chuck, if you're still out there, you want to get a good source of omega fatty acids. And anytime you get them, as far as I'm concerned, put them in the refrigerator, because like any oil, once they start going rancid, now you have other side effects. And you want to make sure that they come from a really great laboratory, organic whenever possible. But there's things like barge oil and flax oil and emu oil. And there's a lot of things that have these high levels of omega-3, 6, and 9s with work. When we use them in our nutrition department for patients who have cholesterol and triglycerides problems, we usually combine them with other things as well. We combine them with vitamin E supplementation, the succinate form generally. There's specific ratios that you want to want these things used, but inflammatory pathways fall often when you supplement the right amount and the right types of omega fatty acids, and they have to be in proper balance as well. There's some good laboratories that are out there, but you know how you can find out if you're not a patient of mine or somebody like us. You know, you go to a health food store and you ask them for the best form of omega fatty acids that they can find. And what I mean by that, who's the best manufacturer out there? A lot of patients opt to using omega fatty acids to keep blood thin over things, you know, that are prescription items. So what you want to do with that is you want to have somebody guide you, because there is a ratio. You have to take some of these things up to 9, 10 grams a day. There's some studies with patients who have had very severe neurological deficits, and they've dramatically increased the fatty acid levels. But for high triglycerides, some authors will talk about 1 to up to 5 grams of fish oils a day. Blood pressures also can be altered with this. For problems with the heart, there's combinations of things. But go to WebMD, check that out, and I think you're going to find that you're going to be surprised about, you know, what the dosage levels are. There are some functional medicine physicians out there who know how to substitute fatty acids, the omega-3, 6, and 9s for blood thinners. There's a step-in process. There's a lot of good medical guys out there that really get it. So I would encourage you, there's not only WebMD, but if you go to University of Maryland Medical Center, there's a tremendous amount of information on their websites when it has to do with cholesterol and triglycerides and fish oils and so forth. So, you know, do your homework, and if I can be of help, you can always get a hold of me at drtomrozell.com, and just go in there and send me a note, and I'll be happy to respond to you. 888-630-9625. We're talking about stress, and we're going to talk about anything else that you would like to talk about today. Bernice, my friend, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I went to the doctor, and I got a cholesterol test and also calcium deficiency. They said I had, well, there's two questions here. I'll read you my cholesterol numbers, which was, the cholesterol was 234 high, and the triglycerides 54, HDL 86, and the LDL 158. How do I lower this? I mean, like...
Well, I can tell you right now, your physician, if it's a medical doctor, is going to want to put you on a cholesterol-lowering medication. Here's what you don't know with those numbers, Bernice. Mm-hmm. First of all, the triglycerides, excellent. Your HDLs at 86 are really, really good. Your total cholesterol at 235 and your LDLs at 158 are questionable, but they don't tell you enough because it doesn't subfraction it down. There's something called the VAP test, V-A-P, that gives you the subfractions of all the different types of fats. So, for example, at 235, could that be good or could that be bad? Yes, it could be either. But it has to be based on what the subfractions are. They're called apolipoproteins. They're broken down even further in A and B. And then there are other factors as well. Those tell you whether or not you have the cholesterol pieces that actually plaque or the ones that kind of don't do any damage. The same thing, by the way, with HDLs or what's known as the good cholesterols or they're actually lipoproteins. There's some really protective good guys and they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to help you. They're just kind of there type of thing. Now, you really have to have that looked at in the subfraction category. So can you lower this? You can lower this with diet. I mean, looking at this, your triglycerides are in a really good shape. I would tell you to watch carbohydrate metabolism in your body without knowing more about you. Watch sugars and the refined products that you're getting. I would tell you to get out and start walking a couple miles a day. I would tell you to start adding fatty acids to your diet in the forms of fish oils or borage flax. I would tell you to add a little garlic to it because garlic is known in the nutritional world to lower these things down. All those things will help, but you need a whole lot more information, Bernice, than you know what this is. So is this good or bad? It could be good or it could be bad, but your triglycerides and your HDLs are really excellent. But again, we don't even know the subfraction of that HDL, so I would have you go do a VAP. We're coming up for a break. We're at the halfway point. We're going to come back and talk more about stress and how this affects your body and anything else that you have. Give me a call, 888-630-9625.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about lots of different things and stress and so forth and the things that, you know, actually go bump in the night. Not a good thing. And by the way, you know, it's the number one killer in the world, in this country. Why? Because it really produces everything else. The body doesn't know the difference, remember, between something that actually happens to you and something that you emotionalize or think about. Also, that constant having to put up with the effect of stress is significant. You know, and it affects the brain, affects the nervous system, affects the autoimmune system of the body. You know, a high concentration of something called noradrenaline, it's part of the adrenaline complex in the blood. It occurs in people with tumors, but particularly tumors of the adrenal system, but we also can produce it with way too much stress. It can damage the heart muscle. So when you're under that much stress and this hormone goes up, your heart is going to get damaged. And so, you know, when you kind of suck it up and you deal with that stress and you never take a break from it, it has a profound effect over time and you go into heart damage. You know, cortisol, as we talked about, is released from that adrenal system, and that cortisol is necessary for reparative effect on the body, but also when it gets way too high, it's going to destroy tissue. It's going to break it up. So excess cortisol in the blood interferes with many different things. But one of the things that it also interferes with is those feel-good juices. You know, the serotonin, dopamine, which need to be in balance, and something called GABA. And, you know, these are mood-enhancing, what they call neurotransmitters. You know, that's serotonin, and then one that kind of blunts it down the other way, and that's dopamine. And disturbances, you know, in these areas due to stress can cause huge, huge levels of depression and anxiety and by the way, then you don't sleep. And if you don't sleep, you don't calm down. And then you get fat because your body starts storing this cortisol. And then in addition to that, you have increased sensitivity to pain. So if you're in pain, here's the catch-22. If you're in pain and you can't sleep, your pain now causes this vicious cycle of not sleeping, causing you to be more sensitive to the pain that you have. And so you can't fix anything unless you can sleep. And if you take any of these drugs that tell you that they're going to knock you out, that, by the way, doesn't help anything because your adrenal system, your fight-flight system is then blunted. But stress can cause a dramatic increase in a lot of the things that produce its own deadly step. There's something called ACTH, which is is produced by the pituitary, and it's the name of it is actually adrenal cortical stimulating hormone, and it increases an increased demand on the adrenal system to produce more of this crazy cortisol thing. So when you're under stress, you're out there fighting the lion, you know, and you never let it go, you have a problem. There's this other piece, this HPA axis. The hypothalamus is a little piece in the brain, and it works with the adrenal system and the pituitary to trigger all kinds of hormone reactions. So when you're under a lot of stress for a prolonged period of time, other systems that are stimulated by the adrenal system or by your pituitary, this little thing in your brain, are going to begin to shut down. What's that? Thyroid function, your gonads, guys, your testosterone level is going to go around your toenails if you're under stress without being able to let it go and relax. Ladies, you're not going to be ovulate. You're going to miscarry if you're young enough and you want to have a child. Stress is a killer because of this imbalance that takes place on an ongoing basis. And in May, we're going to talk about this. But, you know, your susceptibility to infections are there. Your fatigue patterns. You get headaches. You know, one of the things that we don't think about is the increased ability to have all kinds of autoimmune reactions take place. Our immune system goes down and we end up with things like cancers, which are not okay, right? So understand that stress is a killer, and it's something that we can modulate very nicely. We can modify if we begin to change our habits. So as we get into, you know, talking about stress, I want you to understand that this is a lifestyle situation. This is something that you do to yourself, that because you don't go out and get the tools that you need to have, that you don't eat the way you know you should, that you say, I don't have time to. But what happens when time runs out? And that time runs out and it's in a shortened amount of time because you're unwilling to modify certain things. There are ways to slow the system down. There's ways to repair. There's ways to engage that parasympathetic healing portion of your nervous system. But your body responds to stress and has a very significant impact on every system within the body. And what we have to understand is that it affects everything from the brain and your body's capacity to deal with virtually anything, your ability to learn. You know, stress, let's take it from this point of view. Stress is defined as the physical and the chemical and the emotional imbalance of the body. And that's, by the way, straight out of Webster's dictionary. And, you know, if you think you have stress, it's probably too late. You've probably been under stress for a long period of time. And, you know, acute stress, that immediate short-term situation, there's a clear immediate beginning. And there's usually an end. Chronic stress is long-term, and it's prolonged stress. There's no clear ending. It's there all the time. That's where we get ourselves into trouble because, you know, short-term stress patterns are kind of good and bad things. But long-term, unending, doesn't go away, are the things that will kill us, decidedly break our body down. So acute and chronic stress trigger different physiological responses in the body. And we'll talk about that at a different time. But when you get into that fight flight phenomena, that sympathetic override that we talked about at the beginning of the program, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up. That's why a lot of you have blood pressure that won't come down under any kind of treatment, because you're constantly under stress and you don't even realize that you're under stress anymore. Your body holds so much of it in, it becomes your normal physiology. And you just kind of limp along all day long until you drop dead. You know, there was a patient of mine that I had been telling this gentleman for years and years and years and years, you got to slow it down. You got to slow it down. You got to slow it down. You got to take a break. And he'd laugh and he'd go out and he'd work out and so forth. And he came down with devastating brain cancer. And, you know, there was no reason for it. His lifestyle, as far as his environment, wasn't there, but he was under such stress. Was that the only cause of that? I don't know, but I'll tell you, in my belief system, it was something that allowed him to be more predisposed to that. You know, we don't take the opportunities to blunt things. I'm as guilty as that as many other people are, because I push, 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 and I don't stop. But because I've adapted other things into my life, because I do watch my diet very carefully, and that I do things like Tai Chi and I get low levels of exercise, and my routine is generally the same all the time. Crazy routine, but nevertheless, it's the same. It's predictable. And by the way, predictable routines are important things. I get into my habits, you know, my day-to-day things that I do all the time, and I do find a period of time. And by the way, did you know 20 minutes of meditation can repair the body? 20 minutes. Get into a quiet place. Go into a place where you're calm, you're relaxed, you're almost in that semi-sleep. You can restore a lot of things by just doing that. But when you're in a constant state of stress, your body is going to suffer the consequences, unfortunately, of all of that craziness that we purposely ignore and don't do something about. So, you know, at some point, and by the way, in May, I'll get into all the pathways. I'll show you exactly how they work. I'll show you, you know, how the body breaks down, why it breaks down the way it's supposed to. You know, if we go back in life and we don't deal with things, we don't get angry sometimes. Anger is good as long as you don't get stuck in it. You know, it's like when you internalize things and you're getting beat up. If you don't go punch something and just kind of blow it off, or scream and yell and get it off your chest, it eats at you. You kind of put it in. And when you have a long emotional reactive stress pattern in your body, you know, it's associated with your mind's ability to assimilate information. Cognitive situations begin to decline. You can't learn anymore. And oh, by the way, and studies showed in animals that you die sooner. So, you know, putting up with is not okay. It's definitely not okay. And it starts from the time that we're really, really small. So what I want you to understand is that you have the capacity to turn this craziness around. But if you don't do it, if you don't modify the environmental stress, you don't modify the structure, you put up with things, you put up with pain, you take the medication, I can deal with it, you don't slow down, your body is going to destroy itself. And with that, your longevity, your capacity to produce, your ability to do the things that you'd like to do, you know, not to mention that your morbidity, your, you know, your sickness level goes up. You start feeling lousy all the time. I don't feel good. I don't have enough energy. All those things are a result of stress. And when you have that stress pattern, that fight flight constancy with no back down at all, you have a problem. 888-630-9625. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm trying to get your attention today. Why am I doing this? Because I don't want you to suffer from things that you can make a difference in yourself, where you can change lifestyle. Sylvia, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. You have a topic today that's number one, probably, or should be with everyone.
I think so, particularly living where we live.
I wanted to ask about what brought this up was you mentioned omega-3s as blood thinners, and I've always thought that, well, I know someone who takes Coumadin, Warfarin, has to take it, and I always said that they should not be taking an omega-3 because of the blood thinning effect, I think, which you had mentioned sometimes, a long time ago. Is that correct, or am I incorrect?
No, it depends on the level of it. I mean, obviously, see, here's the difference. Warfarin, which is rat poison, it causes, if you take at a level that's too much, you're going to bleed. That's why some people that have uncontrolled levels of warfarin, you notice that they have bruises all over their body. So the thing that you have to remember with that, with warfarin, Coumadin, is that you're also bleeding inside. And the omega fatty acids don't do that. That's the beauty of them. They do not cause you to bleed inside like warfarin does and like Coumadin does. So you can take some, but you really need somebody to help you, you know, begin to modulate if there's a way of transitioning. But it usually has to do with a combination of lifestyle and supplementation changing to get somebody off of the warfarin. Now, my opinion, it gets into a lot of different areas when it comes to all of these blood thinners, because there's so much that you can do on your own, a patient can do on their own to modify, mitigate the need for anything. And sometimes these things are given just because preventatively they want to give them, not because there's an issue. So again, not knowing, you know, the patient, but this is something that you need, you know, you got to have somebody who understands functional medical nutrition to be able to segue from taking this nonsense into putting them into things that are supportive and helpful. But again, it's the same type of thing we're talking about, stress. It's a modifiable situation in most cases, but you got to have somebody who knows what they're doing to be able to move them into the direction that they need to go. Just to say, get off the warfarin and, you know, take omega fatty acids is silliness, because you still haven't answered the question underneath it. What is causing the need for that blood thinner to begin with? So in my opinion, so much of this is just straight up lifestyle. So what I would suggest is this. I see that you're in Germantown. If you send me a note and remind me of the conversation, go to drtomrozell.com and I will send you the name of a couple people in that area that I know do this type of work and can help this person or whoever it is transition perhaps from that prescription medication into something that is more helpful and healthful, if you will. Sylvia, I hope that's useful. Let me know. You know, send a note to me to drtomrozell.com, and I will send you some contacts that may be very, very useful to you. 888-630-9625. What I've learned in 40 years of practice is simply this. The greatest majority of things that take place in our life come from stress patterns, or I'm going to use not even stress patterns, but things that we ignore in the structural, chemical, emotional paradigm. We don't keep our bodies in balance the way we should. We don't keep strength in them. We don't keep our spines aligned. We go to the dentist to check out, you know, fillings, but we don't check the structural components. We look at diet and we catch as catch can, as I said early on in the program, instead of eating things that are supportive, helpful, and reparative. There's an interesting article that I was handed today when I walked into the studio, and it has to do with diet. Do you hear? You ever remember the old saying that your eyes are bigger than your stomach? Well, there's an interesting research that was released recently, as a matter of fact, in February, and it's out of Germany, and they had 50 volunteers wear blindfolds, and they were given things to eat. Well, what it came down to is simply this. People who eat in lower lighted environments, you know, like going out to a romantic place or eating blindfolded, by the way, eat less. And things don't taste as good to them, particularly when they're bad stuff. They actually taste worse. So if you want to lose some weight, put a blindfold on and you won't eat as much. Matter of fact, you'll think that you overate and you won't be eating quite as much. It's kind of interesting. I'm going to read through this article. And if you go to our website, go to either drtomrozell.com or go to rozellcare.com, and I'll get this up there this week, and we'll also publish it on our Facebook and social media sites so you can know where to find this thing. It's kind of an interesting article. It was fun to read. I said, yeah, you know, I know that, I think. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon or wherever you happen to be in your neck of the woods out on the West Coast. It's at 3 hours earlier at 9 o'clock. Some central will be 2 hours or 1 hour. Anyway, we're here for you and those of you listening to us over the internet as well. We have a huge audience and we hope that we're serving you. And if there's anything that you'd like us to address or talk about at some point, go to drtomrozell.com. And by the way, if you want some one-on-one information, you can do that as well. Go to drtomrozell.com. By the way, if you haven't been to the Rozell Center website, I would encourage you to do that. Go to Rozell Center, or actually Rozell Care, rozellcare.com. And there's videos, there's educational pieces there for you. There's a calendar of all of our events and things that are happening. It's a great site. It's structured for your, not only for your, oh, gee, that's interesting, but for your education. And we want you to take advantage of it. Also, drtomrozell.com, that is a professional site as well as a site that is set up for you. Check them both out. But they're both interlinked, by the way. Ken, thank you for holding. How can I help you, sir?
This is Tim.
Tim, I'm sorry.
You're talking stress today. I had a stroke in June, and it was due to stress. I'm sure it is. But the secret of Lipitor, my cholesterol is borderline, but it's pretty good. Why do they give stroke patients the Lipitor? What other properties is it besides lowering cholesterol?
Nothing. because that's, I mean, there's some authors that will say that, some research authors that says that it helps prevent certain types of cancers and so forth. But here's the situation. They're giving it to you as a preventative because that's what the drug companies say that the standard of care should be. And what they're trying to do is decrease the cholesterol. And as a result, their thought process will decrease the plaquing. But let me give you a study that came out of the New England Journal of Medicine about 2.5-3 years ago. It was published in one of their fall editions. I don't have it in front of me right now, so I can't give you the exact month that it came out. But they studied 1,000 guys over a period of a whole lot of years. And their final conclusion was on a statin is that you have to treat 100 guys for 5 years to prevent one heart attack. Now, that can be extrapolated to strokes because it's the same thing. You can have one of two things. You're either going to have one of several things. You're either going to have a vasoconstriction, which is going to stop the blood flow. You're going to have a clot that is going to cause a problem, or you're going to have a rupture of the vessel itself. Now, if you take something that thins the blood itself, you like a Coumadin or aspirin and so forth, it increases the risk of a hemorrhagic problem, a hemorrhagic stroke or a hemorrhagic heart attack. So in my opinion, there's other ways of doing that that are far more effective. Ken, you're not my patient, but you have a lot of people out there. There's some websites I can refer you to. You go to drtomrozell.com. But stress, as you know, increases blood pressure, increases the tension within the arterial system, and so forth. And again, I know your name is Tim. I keep looking up on the call board, and they misput up their bills. So forgive me. I don't mean to be insulting at any level whatsoever. So I would encourage you, one, to find somebody who can guide you through lifestyle changes, doing certain things that can support and help you with making some alterations and changes out where you are in Front Royal. I think there's a couple people out there that I'd have to look and guide you to, but you can go to drtomrozell.com. Remind me of our conversation on the radio, and I'll be more than happy to do what I can to point you in the right direction. But lowering stress patterns are critical for all of us, and the fact that you had the stroke, you know, you've got to modulate it. You've got to make a difference, dietary, emotional, and physical. We're coming up to the break. This program's way too short. Wish I could take more of your calls today. You'll forgive me. I'll see you next week. Same time, same old place. Love you all. This is Dr. Tom Wiesel.